when I served as an associate pastor at Lovers Lane United Methodist Church in Dallas, Texas, we had an opportunity to work with some refugee and immigration agencies. And many of the people we encountered through these groups were from places like Ghana, Kenya, and Zimbabwe. When they arrived, their only physical possessions were literally the clothes on their back. And while these various aid agencies helped them find a place to live, provided them an apartment for a short term, and helped them enroll their children in school, and sometimes helped them find employment or job assistance, they still lacked many necessities. These refugees still needed transportation, clothing, furniture, and community. We had a group in our church that heard about this need, and they began to partner with these agencies, and then by enlisting the help of the church, we began to provide much needed care to help these immigrant families. We collected clothes, dishes, appliances, and furniture. And chief among the furniture items needed were beds and televisions. Now, beds make sense, but a television? Well, see, many of the immigrants, when they arrived, they didn't speak English. However, with a television, they could quickly learn the language, especially the children. They would arrive not knowing English, and I would go see them again a few months later, and the young children had practically mastered the English language. It was absolutely fascinating. The adults, it usually took them a little longer, a couple of years of getting the hang of things. But as a result of our work, these families suddenly had a community. They experienced the hospitality of the church. What's more is it led to the growth of our multicultural congregation, including Spanish, Zimbabwean, and Swahili services. Through their service, the people of the church became the church. They became the body of Christ by showing their love for God, by serving their neighbors, by helping those in need, and by building the kingdom of God. They used what they had, their gifts, their resources, their talents, their time, their energy, and they put them to good use for the church. And this is at the heart of today's scripture. See, Paul opens up his letter. It's a theological treatise to the church in Rome. But it's really for the whole church. It's reminding us what we all know, that the world has fallen. It's a broken place that has turned its back on God. However, God has not given up on us. In fact, God has sent his only son, Jesus, to prove God's love toward us, and that nothing in creation, in heaven or on earth, will ever be able to separate us from God's presence or God's love. What's more is God has a plan, and he's put it into motion. And God is offering us salvation. We receive this salvation through faith. That is, we trust God with our whole heart, and we believe that through his life, death, and resurrection, that Jesus is God's Son who brings us good news. And then we profess this with our mouths. We say it out loud publicly so that other people may hear and know. But then Paul goes on to say that this belief, this profession, it has follow through. It's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling in our heart. It's not just some spiritual words we say out loud. It requires action. And God has gifted you with the skills and the abilities and the intelligence to act, to take action. Now, that action doesn't save us. That action is a result of our salvation. The action is proof of our salvation. Think of it like this. Did you ever pretend that you were a race car or an airplane or a boat? Maybe you did this with your children or grandchildren, you know. You sit there with them, rim, rim, you know, or you picked them up and you flew them around like a plane, yeah, or maybe you held them in the bathtub or in the pool like they were a boat. That's a train. That's the wrong thing. That's the word I'm looking for. All right. Anybody ever do something like that? Yeah. I mean, it's tons of fun. They love it. They laugh. They giggle. Yet, they know they're not a boat or a plane or a car. They know it's pretend. And we know that too. Just like we know that sleeping in the garage doesn't make us a car. It might mean we're in the doghouse, but it doesn't make us a car. Just like swimming in the lake doesn't make us a boat. It's the same thing with our faith. Saying I'm a Christian doesn't make me a Christian. Saying I love God and follow Jesus makes me sound like a Christian. But the truth of what Paul is saying is that if we love God and follow Jesus, then our actions and our words will show it. That we will become living sacrifice for God. That means our words, our actions, our work, how we treat those around us, everything we do will all be dedicated to God. And this is a journey of making everything we do something for God. It is a path to our spiritual maturity. So, what can we do? What can I do? What can you do? In Mark 12, a lawyer asks Jesus, "What is the most important commandment?" In other words, what's the most important thing that I can do? And Jesus answered, "The most important one is," and then Jesus says, "Listen carefully." He says, "Our God is the one Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your mind, with all your strength." But wait, that's not all, because the second one is just like it. You will love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. The lawyer hears this and he rephrases it to Jesus and he says, "So in other words, how I love God and neighbor is more important than all the burned offerings and sacrifices in the world, right?" And Jesus responds, "You are not far from God's kingdom." When we love God with all we've got and we love our neighbor as ourselves, that means we help our neighbor as we help ourselves, then we are not far from God's kingdom. You do this, you are not far from God's kingdom. The question remains, how can I love my neighbor? How can we show this? How can we show our love for God and for our neighbor? The answer is, how has God gifted you? See, we are all gifted and called to serve God through the world around us. We all have gifts. Sometimes they're different or unique. Sometimes they're the same gifts. Yet you have a gift. Paul is telling us to devote ourselves to using our gifts for God's kingdom. In Matthew 20, Jesus gives an example and he says, "I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to liberate the oppressed. And the greatest among you will be the ones who serve in the same way." Jesus liberated us from oppression to sin and wickedness. And then he sent us to do the same. That we get to serve God as Christians, as little Christs, as the body of Christ in the world around us. that we have the opportunity to continue the work that he started by liberating people, by giving them freedom from the things that oppress them, from the sinful structures of this world, from the powers of evil that want to tear people down and hold people down and keep them from experiencing God's love. Guess what? When the world tries to tear you down or tear someone else down or hold your neighbor down, we are gifted and graced to resist. We are equipped to fight back, though not with violence, not with hateful rhetoric. As Dr. King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Instead, our tools are faith, hope, and love. If you're looking for ways to help people find freedom in Christ, to change lives, to drive out darkness, and to embrace this faith, hope, and love, then have I got something for you. I have a place for you, for each and every one of you. We have a place for you. God has a place for you. No matter where you are, what your history is, where you're at right now, God has a place for you right here, right now. Want to teach? We have Sunday schools, small groups, nursery, children's classes, and youth classes with openings for teachers. Do you want to help people feel welcome and at home and loved? Our hospitality team has space for you. You can greet, you can usher, you can help people park, you can offer guest follow-up so that when someone walks through the doors, they know where to go, they know what Sunday school or what place to worship in. They know that someone cares about them and that they truly belong here, that they really feel loved, that they are wanted in this place, and we have space for them. Do you want to stretch yourself more? You've already heard about Mike's awesome Mission Minute and all the outstanding things our missions teams are doing. These things include homeless ministry, feeding ministries, backpack program, our free Christian clinic that we're a part of, disaster relief, bus driving. We'll pay for you to get your CDL. And so many other ways that you can make a face-to-face connection with someone who needs God's love right now. Maybe you're musically gifted, play an instrument, or you like to sing. We have a choir and a praise band that would love to have you participate. Maybe you like electronics or computers or cameras. We have an audiovisual and online worship team that will help onboard you so that you can take our in-person and online worship to the next level. They would be great to have another person. They would be happy to have another person in the rotation. Maybe you're worshiping from home right now, or in your car, or somewhere else on watching TV or listening to the radio or watching on your phone, and you're thinking, this is my church, I love this church, but what can I do from where I am? I'd like to serve, but I don't know how. We still have a place for you. We have our prayer ministry, our prayer shawl ministry, and our online worship ministry. Plus, there are many other ways in which you can follow up and reach out to people who are lonely, who are hurting, who are in need. There are a multitude of ways that you can engage God's grace into the community around you. There are so many ways you can use your gifts and serve God right where you are. You are gifted, graced with faith, hope, and love in order to love God by serving your neighbor. You are gifted to be better at life and to make life better and help others find and experience a better life through Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 6, the prophet has a vision in the throne room of heaven. And while there, he hears God asking, who will go and help? Who will go and help the people see and hear and know and live in to the presence of God? Whom shall I send? And then Isaiah experiences a moment of purification, of forgiveness. And he says, here I am, Lord. I'm here. Send me, Lord. Through Jesus, God has purified you and forgiven you for not loving God and neighbor with your whole heart. Now, God has made you ready to serve. So when you hear that voice in your heart, in your head, in your mind, or when you're lying awake at night, whom shall I send? May each of us answer, here I am, Lord. Send me, Lord. Amen.